extraordinary rather than ordinary. It's dedicated to helping ourselves and each other see the beauty of the person, see what's really good about ourselves, the kindness, the caring capacities, not to get hooked into the externals that we all know fade with time. Many of you may not realize that the Enchanted Self grew out of my study of women between the ages of 35 and early 80s. I knew as women, oftentimes we suffered the effects of negative messages in childhood, such as, don't do that, you'll fall and hurt yourself, that's for boys. Get married early, looks fade in this family. Or don't be a doctor, that's not feminine. However, what I found in my research was a surprise and a tribute to all the unsung heroines and heroes of our worlds, that people, and women in particular, have capacities and strengths that are often silently done and not recognized, but are really astounding. They live lives of joy, and they validate the coping capacities and the spirit within all of us, the human potential. That's what we're going to talk about today. I'm hoping my guest is Jennifer Hawthorne. Is she there?
Yes, hi.
Oh, good, because something happened in the patching today, and I'm just was praying you were there.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Okay. She is the co-author of A Second Chicken Soup for the Woman Soul, 101 More Stories to Open the Hearts and Rekindle the Spirits of Women. And welcome, Jennifer.
Well, thank you so much.
I thought it might be interesting to tell our audience a little bit about your own journey. I like to do that on this show because it is all about transformational personal growth, and a little bit about yourself as a woman, and then, of course, how that came into being around writing the second chicken soup for the soul for women.
Sure. Well, one of the things that I feel has been most significant in my life is my search for work that has meaning. I've always felt that it was very important for me to spend my time doing something that I felt was worthwhile. And I got very, very off track for many years, but then one day awoke to the fact that as far back as the seventh grade, that was when I entered my first public speaking contest. It was with 4-H, and that should have been a clue to me that that was something that I might want to look at doing now. And today I'm a professional speaker. I travel around the country and to other countries as well, giving talks on chicken soup for the soul and chicken soup for the woman's soul. And I am a great believer in women as well as men doing everything possible to pay attention to what is it that makes my heart sing. What am I good at, and what is it that makes my heart sing? Because I believe that you can really earn a living doing that, and my prayer is that everyone find that particular place in life.
Yes, well, my prayer is really the same, although I would say even if someone can't earn a living or chooses not to, to find what they're really good at and to recognize their strengths and be able to draw from them is so critical and something we don't do a lot to help people in our society.
Yeah, I really would agree with that. I think that's very beautifully said, Doctor.
I tend to train people to go back through their histories and separate their own strengths and talents even from a dysfunctional past.
Uh-huh.
Take pride and ownership. And yours was so clear, you know, with the 4-H Club. That's just such a wonderful example.
Well, you know, it was so funny. When I think back about that experience, I remember thinking, oh, a speaking contest, that sounds really fun and really easy. And even today, although it takes a lot of creativity and a lot of time to develop a talk that I'm very happy with, I always experience when I'm in front of a group that it's as natural to me as breathing is. And I just feel very, very blessed to be part of the 20% of the population that really, really does love my work. And then, of course, the way that I got involved in the Chicken Soup for
Yes.
the Soul books was through the door of public speaking. And several years ago, I had the great opportunity to study self-esteem, which was a very important topic to me in my own life, with the creator of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, Jack Canfield. And in doing that, I learned a lot about self-esteem from him. And my business partner at the time was my co-author, thought to ourselves, you know, these Chicken Soup for the Soul books are so great. Let's ask Jack if we can start doing talks using the name Chicken Soup for the Soul. So we entered into an arrangement with him where we started giving speeches on Chicken Soup for the Soul. Men and women respond very differently to stories. And I'll give you an example of that in just a minute. But what happened was that in learning that, we decided, you know, we should really do a Chicken Soup for the Soul book just for women. And that's how it got started. There was one story, Dr. Holstein, from an earlier Chicken Soup for the Soul book that illustrates this, if I could share this with
Please.
You. It's a story about a young man, Carl Coleman, who was involved in a car accident with a young woman who was just distraught over this accident. And he couldn't understand it because it could have been so much worse, and it was really just a little fender bender. But then he discovered that she was driving her husband's brand new car that he had had out of the showroom for all of 2 days.
Right. Yes.
So he said, yes, ma'am, I understand, but we're still going to need to exchange information. And so she leaned over and opened the glove compartment and pulled out a packet of papers. As she opened it, a note fell out with her name written across the front. And she opened the note, and it said, in case of accident, remember, honey, it's you I love, not the car. And
beautiful.
Women everywhere collectively sigh at the end of the story. They go, oh. And the men kind of sit there scratching their heads or going, yeah, right. That's when we knew we needed a chicken soup just for women.
Yes. Let's come back after the break and talk more about that. And we're going to leap right in, and Jennifer would like to share one or two stories that are so unique for the woman's soul that are in the new book.
Great. I would really love to start by sharing one of the stories from our chapter in Miracles. This, of course, is from the latest book in the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. It's a second Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul. And this is a story about a man named Marcel Sternberger, who was a native of Hungary living in New York City. And one day in 1948, he got on a subway headed for Manhattan to go to work and quickly grabbed the only seat available on the train. Well, he noticed that the man sitting next to him was reading a Hungarian newspaper, and so the two began to speak in their native language. And Marcel learned that the man's name was Bela Paskin, that he had suffered many atrocities during the war, and that after the war he had actually walked several hundred miles to return to his home in Hungary, only to learn that his entire family, including his wife, had been taken to the concentration camp at Auschwitz and killed. Well, heartsick, he left Hungary and had just arrived in the U.S. 3 months before this chance meeting with Marcel on the train. Well, the whole time he was speaking, Marcel kept thinking how familiar Bella's story sounded. He had recently met a Hungarian woman at the home of friends who had told a very similar story. He had written down her name and number, in fact, and he now pulled out his address book and said to Bella, was your wife's name Maria? And Bella Paskin turned white as a sheet and said, how did you know? And Marcel said, quickly, we have to get off this train. They ran to a phone booth, they dialed the woman's number, and when she answered, Marcel said, Maria, what was your husband's name? Bella Paskin, she said. And he turned to Bella and said, take this phone. You are about to speak with your wife. And the story goes on to talk about their reunion, but I just am so filled with joy and goosebumps.
Yes.
Every time I tell that story, I think it's such an extraordinary story for this time of year when we're in this season of miracles. And it reminds me, Dr. Holstein, to never, ever give up hope. Even in the darkest hour, always believe in miracles.
And I think that that's something that women are very much in touch with, that women, we through the centuries have cared for aging parents and we've cared for sick children and we've worried about children, will they find a spouse? And we've lived through so many times where we wait and we wait and we pray and we pray, and we often have to have this kind of silent spirituality, and I don't think women have had been recognized enough, and your book is helping to say aloud a lot of these inner voices.
Well, thank you. I hope so. In A Second Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul, we have tried once again to touch the hearts of women very deeply. This is not a casual thing, as some people might think, you know, just from the sheer numbers of books that are available now in this series. We really try to choose stories that are going to move a woman in a very deep way, or touch her heart, or uplift her, or inspire her, or give her the courage by sharing others' experiences who might have been in a very similar situation to someone facing hard times, for example.
Would you like to give a second story?
Oh, I would really love to. You know, one of the things that I'm most pleased about in A Second Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul are the stories that we have from celebrities. We always have celebrity pieces in all of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, but to me, this collection is a particularly beautiful one. We have pieces by Mother Teresa, Princess Diana, Candace Bergen, Whoopi Goldberg, Sally Jesse Raphael, just to name a few. And, you know, you take a story like Candace Bergen's, for example, and we're not talking about Candace Bergen, the actress or the television star. This is a story about mother. The story from Whoopi Goldberg is not Whoopi Goldberg, the comedian. It's a story about Whoopi Goldberg, the mother. And it's about the evening that her 15-year-old daughter came down the stairs ready to go out for the evening wearing what Whoopi described as three tiny pieces of cloth. And it's how she dealt with that. But I think that two of the pieces that touch me most are two of the very shortest pieces in the book, and they're the ones from Mother Teresa and Princess Di. Diana had always wanted to hug people in hospital beds. And in 1991, she was visiting an AIDS hospice with Barbara Bush, and she was sitting on the side of a bed of a man who was dying of AIDS. And she looked at him, and she thought, Diana, just do it. And she leaned over and gave the man an enormous hug. He, of course, broke down. He was so moved. And that was the incident that turned the attention of the world to AIDS patients and the fact that it really is okay to hug an AIDS patient. And Diana says later in this story that whenever she went to the palace or to a summit dinner party, she was always expected to be a certain person and to behave in a certain way. But it was on those days when she visited a hospital ward that she was able to fall asleep at night knowing that she had really done her best.
Right.
That's so beautiful. I know that you're going to have to leave very soon, and I'm so glad we got to hear those little vignettes. I'm really distressed to let you go, but Jennifer, maybe we can be in touch and you could come back for a full half an hour.
Oh, I would really love to do that.
And for everyone, we thank you, and we hope and we know everyone will include A Second Chicken Soup for the Women's Soul on their gift list. It's a great Christmas, Hanukkah inspirational book, and I'll be in touch and we'll try to be together again soon.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, and love to all your listeners.
Thank you. Let's talk a little bit about The Enchant itself and catch up a little bit, just you and me. We haven't done that in a while. Some of you may be wondering, what do I actually say and teach in my book, The Enchant Itself, A Positive Therapy, which you can easily buy from me for one by calling 1-877-BE-JOYFUL, and I can send you, I will send out a copy, and the price is a special for Christmas, $15, including the postage, or Hanukkah. It would be a lovely gift. Also, you can get The Enchant Itself, A Positive Therapy, at your Barnes & Noble or Borders or tons of wonderful bookstores in the Phoenix, Providence areas. In the book, I teach you how to live a more joyful and meaningful life. And what does that actually mean? First, I help you recognize how special you are, that being special isn't just for the rich and famous. You, no matter who you are, you live a unique life that no one else will ever live. And maybe you're only known on the block where you live or the apartment building or your office or maybe in your town. But that doesn't mean that you're not a hero or a heroine in your own right. You may be doing very, very special things. Maybe you're bringing up a child or children. Maybe you're caring for parents that are getting older. Maybe you go to work every day. Maybe you're putting an effort into staying healthy. Whatever you're doing, there's much more talent and coping skills and survival skills involved in what you're doing than I bet you give yourself credit for. We talk about these sorts of things in the book and how to begin to go over your own life story so as to see it as the most fascinating story, a narrative of someone who came to Earth, lived, had achievements, had failures, laughed, cried, had things that didn't work out and things that did work out. But what a story. And we talk about how to go back and keep looking at your story, not only for the pleasure of telling it to yourself, maybe your children and grandchildren, but also to find out your own profile of who you are, to begin to make a blueprint of your own future by learning how to reinvent yourself and recreate yourself again and again. What are your talents? What are your interests? Maybe they go back to when you were 6 years old, or maybe things from last year that you should stay and keep doing. You learn how to do this in the book. That's important. We really need how to learn how to use our own wonderful history to our advantage. That's part of what the book teaches. Then we go on to talk about building self-esteem, something so important. Who will be your best friend if you're not your best friend? Who will see you as having value if you put yourself down and you trash yourself? Another thing that the book covers is how to negotiate for yourself. Who's going to go in and ask for a raise for you? Probably only you. So these are the different types of things that you have to get better at. And the surprise of all surprises is how joy finds a way as we better ourselves and we learn more effectively some of the skills that I'm talking about. Well, it's been a pleasure as usual being with you. I hope you have a week of enchantment. And see you again next week. We'll talk more about the enchanted self. Bye.